for the Doreen Dangour?
Yes.
And then your married name?
And also my married name is Dangour also, because my husband, Albert Dangour, my late husband, he passed away last year. Mm-hmm. Dangour, we are first cousins on our father's side. My father and his father were brothers.
I see.
Yeah.
So, and you were born, when were you born? Well, what year?
I was born in Baghdad, mm-hmm. and my husband was born in Baghdad also, but he left at an early age mm-hmm. to come to school, to university in London, to study in London. He left in 1937.
Oh, early.
Very early, huh. Very early, because his two brothers, older than him, were here, established in business. Mm-hmm. At that time, you know, it isn't like now with fax and this and that and this. So they relied on a member of the family to be abroad for to do the business, to communicate, because someone they can trust, because communication was very difficult, mm-hmm. and for import, for export, for all these things,
right.
they had to have somebody from the family, and most families follow that pattern.
Huh. Did he go back and forth?
No.
No.
No, he came to study here. His brothers were here in business, and they worked with the family mm-hmm. in Baghdad. And then, while he was still at university, war broke out. And he didn't want to go back. He wanted to stay here.
Right.
Maybe he felt at the time if he went back, he would not want, or they would not let him leave the family or whatever. Hmm. And he stayed here. So we hardly knew each other.
Huh. Wow.
We hardly knew each other.
You left here.
And I left Baghdad. We came on a visit to France mm-hmm. in 1952. Because before that, because of all the trouble of Israel, Palestine, mm-hmm. and all these things, Jews were not allowed to leave Baghdad. And it was only by the end of 1951 that all those who traveled to Israel, losing their nationality,
right.
it was all right. finished and all that, so they allowed Jews to leave. Before that, they wanted to distinguish between those who were going on holiday and those who were leaving for good. And
well, how did you leave in 52? You left on a visa?
We had passport and visa, but we had they give us only 3 months to go back, otherwise we lose our nationality.
But you intended to go to leave the country for good?
No. We came, my sister and myself, for a pleasure.
Uh-huh. To France.
Uh-huh. Because a visa to England was very difficult to get.
Hmm.
We came to France with my parents, and then my brother came, and we had a brother in Sweden came to see us, and you know, that was after...
You came too? Yeah. It was a family trip.
Okay. Yeah, it was a family trip.
Mm-hmm.
And then my husband came to Paris to meet us, my parents he didn't see since 1937. And we got married.
Did you get married in France?
Yeah.
Wow.
We got married in France. And they all went back. My parents, my sister, yes. I stayed here.
I see.
Yeah, I came to London. Yes, that's why you are asking me. Did we intend to leave for good? Not at all.
I see.
They went back.
Right.
But I came to London, and it was... Looking back, it wasn't easy for me. When I came to London, you know, while we were in Baghdad, we had everything.
Right.
We came. I came to London, although it was 7 years after the war finished.
Mm-hmm.
It was still, we had to buy things, producing tickets and, you know,
Russian
books.
Oh, really?
Russian
England.
Books. Yeah. It was so difficult. Very difficult, but my husband
didn't... You had a comfortable life in Baghdad.
Very comfortable.
This is probably a little bit of a shock.
Yeah, we had very comfortable life in Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
We had the ups and downs. I'm not saying it was all you know, easy sailing.
Right.
We had the ups and downs. Like sometimes they used to have demonstrations for anything, and immediately my father used to send someone from his office to collect us from school. They didn't want us to get caught, yes, in the demonstration.
Did you go to the same school?
Yes, everybody went to the same school. Everybody.
Oh, remind me just for the tape, because I know where you went, but I just want to have it for the tape. Tell me where you went to school and tell me what it was like.
The Alliance School, they called it Laura Kadoury.
Right.
Laura Kadoury, it was in memory. Sir Eli Kadoury, his wife, died, and he made a school in her memory.
Right. It, so it was essentially the Alliance School, but it was
Alliance School. Alliance, yes.
Right,
yes, and the education was most in French, English, and Arabic. So that's
did
where.
Did you learn Hebrew at all?
No, not at school. In Baghdad, yes.
Yeah, like after school. In high school, did you learn?
No. In Baghdad, before us, the girls who went to school before us, they learned Hebrew. By the time it was our time to go to school, they stopped it.
Oh, I see. They stopped. What year was that? Approximately. You don't have to
Well, I mean, I went to school in the 30s.
Right.
The 30s. Okay. And they stopped it then.
Right.
Yeah. Because by that time, it started already those feeling of, you know, first of all, our school, it was independent. But at some stage, it became under the rules of the Ministry of Education. And the main language had to be taught in Arabic. So, then...
Did it come under the Ministry of Education in the 30s, actually? Or in the 30s, they only...
In the late 30s.
Okay.
In the late 30s. And they had to follow their program and all, and they stopped... So I never learned Hebrew at school. But my father, I mean, I always thank him in my mind,
right.
Made sure that we study
Hebrew.
Yes,
right.
Yes. I mean...
How did you learn it? Did you learn it from
He got us somebody.
Mm-hmm. And you both learned Hebrew at home?
Yes, he got us somebody. We had a very good teacher. There was a very good teacher who taught almost everybody in Baghdad. And he taught my brothers also. And then...
An Israeli or a...
No, Iraqi.
Yeah.
Iraqi. And my father said, you must learn Hebrew. You must learn how to read.
Yeah.
You must. So we said, you know, at that time, most of our friends didn't learn it. But, you know, with my father... As you know, his father was chief rabbi and all, so he would. It was important to him.
Yeah.
And we said, we don't want that teacher because he shouts. He will shout at us.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I will get you another teacher. And he brought another teacher, and it was no good, you know. While we were reading, he used to sleep. And another one, again no good, and one day my father sent for the other, for the main one, and he said, you are going to teach my daughters, but I want you not to shout at them. They are not the boys.
Yeah.
So he said, all right, and he taught us. And
did you go to synagogue every week, or
no.
Did you go on the
Hagim?
Yeah.
My father went every week. Every week, without fail. But we went on Hagim or special occasion. Or,
Do you remember your grandfather?
No.
No. When did he die? When you were young?
He passed away in 1930.
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
And remind me when you were born?
I was born late 1927. So I was 2 years old, so I can't remember him.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I have any memory, just because I saw his pictures all the time and all, but I never...
With stories.
Yeah, and stories, but I never remember him.
Yeah.
Apparently, he was a very, very good rabbi.
Yeah.
He was chief rabbi,
but... What do you know about him in terms of the stories that people told you? I mean, you can both jump in here,
Yeah.
About your grandfather.
No, he was very good. He was a very learned man, you know. He wrote many books.
Yeah.
many, many books that I have some here. My brother Naim had them printed in Israel. It was in my grandfather's handwriting.
So Ezra Ben Gur also ran the publishing company?
Yes.
Okay, so he was both a rabbi and a publisher.
A publisher, yes.
Right.
Yes.
A religious book.
No. Any book. I mean, he was in business and a rabbi,
right.
A chief rabbi, and actually his salary from the rabbinate, he gave it back to the community,
wow.
To the poor.
Yeah.
Because he had his business.
Yeah, he had. So was it the biggest publishing house in Iraq? Or one of the?
Well, I think, I mean at that time you are talking about, at that time there wasn't a big publishing house. Yes, it was the first one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now is not a time to be modest. I have to get the facts down.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
No, they printed all sorts of books. In fact, they printed the books for our school also.
Really?
And I felt so proud.
And you saw it.
So proud. Yeah. To have all prayer books, all Hebrew books carried his picture, my grandfather's picture. On the first page.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can show you one afterwards.
I'd like to see it, yeah.
Yeah.
What other memories do you, and you don't have memories of him, but what other things do you know about him?
Well,
your father must have told you stories or about it.
And they used to visit him from the governor.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, you know, in Baghdad, on Hagim, mm-hmm. like Sukkot, and Pesach and all, we had the habit of visiting each other.
Right.
Family, mostly family because the families are, yeah, the younger brother would go to the older brother, and after half an hour, the older brother will come to the other, you know.
Right. They I've heard that.
But from what we heard from our parents, because my grandparents lived with my parents. In Baghdad, that's how it was, you know.
So
they always lived with one of their sons, and it was my father.
Did they live in the same house with you when you were born?
Yeah. With all my brothers were born. Mm-hmm. My brothers are all older than us.
Mm-hmm.
I have four brothers. They are all older.
I see.
Yeah.
And then it's you and
that's right. That's right.
Okay.
Yes, and yes. Okay. The other son got married, another son went abroad, and so when my father married, he married and stayed in the house with his parents, with my grandparents.
Right.
Yeah.
What street was it on?
They called it Torat. Torat Street.
Right.
Yeah. And so my parents used to say the day when you had visitors,
mm-hmm.
for the holidays, for the Hagim, you know, the prime minister, everybody used to come, to my grandfather.
Your grandfather.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you, at the time they respected the Jews.
Yeah.
At that time the Jews were respected. It was only in the 30s that things started to...
To really change.
Yeah, to really change slowly. And in Rashid Ali, 1941.
Right. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I was old enough. My brother Naim.
We must have been together then.
My brother.
Yeah,
we were together. And my brother Naim, mm-hmm. was officer in the army.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in Baghdad.
Okay. So.
And at that time, during that war of the month of Rashid Ali, we call it, he was there with the army.
With the army, because he had been recruited.
Yes,
wow.
As an officer.
So how was that for him, and how was that for your family?
Very difficult, because at that time we could see the British, because they sided with Germany during that month. It was sort of a revolution.
Sure, yeah.
They sided with Germany. So the British aeroplane used to come and fire on the camps. And we look, it was just outside Baghdad.
The Iraqi military,
the camp. And my mother was terrified
right.
that's the one where my brother is.
Wow.
And when the planes go by, he used to telephone to us and say, I'm all right. And
so all the Jewish boys at a certain age, I mean all the boys in Iraq at a certain age were conscripted into the army at age 17 or something?
I think 17.
So it was mandatory? It was mandatory army service?
Yeah, they used to pay 50 dinars. They call it bedel. It means instead of them going to the army.
Oh, I see.
But my brother couldn't because he was officer, because he studied in London. And all those who had a higher degree of studies.
Oh, they wanted for the army.
They took them as officers and not as soldiers.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So let me just save the 50 dinars and then go
to. So really only very few Jews did that?
Yes. Yeah.
Only those who had studied abroad like your brother.
That's right, yes. And a few Jews who went as soldiers. Okay. And even when they went, they used to go for 3 months. And they let them out.
So you didn't see your brother during the Rahut? You didn't see Naeem?
He used to come sometimes. Uh-huh. Sometimes he used to come, like uh-huh. in the evening, and go back in the morning. Because he was only 20 minutes of where we were.
I see.
Yeah.
And then how long was he in the army for? 2 years? Or was it more like 2 months?
Not few years, few months, yes,
right.
He was in the army. So at the end of that month of Rashid Ali, when the Germans, were pushed away by the British,
yeah.
There was sort of a vacuum in Baghdad. At the time, the British didn't come in quickly, and we don't know the reason. And
maybe they were chickens.
I don't know. Some people say like they wanted to give time to the people to do what they want to do,
Right.
To keep them busy. So they looted, they did all sorts of things. I mean, really the Jews were under...
So were you closed up in your house then?
Well, we have very good friends, Muslim friends.
Oh, you told me the story. Yeah.
Yes. Who lived around the corner from us. And in fact, their son was partner with my brother. They met in the army, both as officers, and they became partners. And they said, you must not stay at home. Because they really looted, they went, they broke the doors of other houses, and you must come to us. And we went there, my mother, my sister, myself, and one of my brothers, the younger one. My father and the three other brothers stayed at home. Hmm. But...
They felt safe enough to stay at home?
Well, I tell you, through my brother who was in the army, mm-hmm. the one who was above him came and brought two soldiers and told them to stay at the door until he tells them to move, to guard the house.
In front of our house.
Yeah.
And why didn't you stay there? You could have stayed there too then.
We didn't know that.
We didn't know afterwards. Afterwards. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there were...
They guarded the house. Yeah, they guarded the house. Two soldiers standing at the door.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there were stories like that.
Yeah.
Muslims were very...
Yeah, yeah. That's what... I like my husband's parents' house. Which was only about a couple of hundred yards from us, they looted it.
Yeah.
They took everything, and they had to run to the roof to stay to the...
Yeah.
So, you get mixed stories.
Right.
I mean, we were well guarded, and there was no way to communicate with them.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't communicate with them. We couldn't ask them to come to us. No one could do anything.
Did you communicate with your neighbors?
It was only 2 days this lasted.
Right.
Yeah, only 2 days. Mm-hmm. So, we had good time, but in between there was some bad time.
Right.
And always the Jews learned how to live with the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
We never went out of our way to make them, we minded our own business.
Right. You kept a low profile.
Yeah, we minded our own business.
Was your father in business?
Yes.
He associated probably a lot with Muslims.
He did associate a lot with Muslims.
Right. And he ran the publishing company, your father?
Yes, yes, or? Yes.
Right.
Not till the end. Afterwards he stopped it.
He stopped it, yeah.
The last few years, you know.
Is that what he did primarily, or did he?
Yes, yes, yeah. Yeah. It was a big, very big. I remember when we left the school and we went to the office to him. We're so happy to print things, to see things being printed, and all, you know. I mean, for us children, it was really exciting. Yeah.
And did the publishing house print small books for children? I mean, there were school books.
No,
it was
not think
so.
No. People were more serious at the time, not
right.
like here.
Right. No Sesame Street.
No, it was more serious. And then after that, things became better.
Right, in the 40s.
And yeah, we lived well.
Mm-hmm.
We lived well until 1948, when Israel started to be into, you know.
Right.
Then things started.
Tell me your perspective from that. You only left a few years afterwards.
Well, I tell you what happened. Yes. Well, what happened? I mean, before that, everyone was allowed to go to Palestine.
Yeah.
Everyone. There was no restriction. Jews, Muslims, the royal family, they all went to Palestine.
Yeah.
And you know, when in 1948, when Palestine became Israel, they started going to houses, to Jewish houses, to see if they have anything, any letter, anything that came from Palestine. Yeah, from Palestine, and then they would take them to prison, you know. It was, but everybody used to be there. It was open for everyone.
Right.
But, you know.
They used to go to see doctors, the Muslims.
Yeah.
There would be Jewish doctors.
Of course.
Yeah, in Palestine.
They believed in Jewish doctors in Palestine.
Yeah, and they were the best doctors. They were the best.
Yes, of course.
No, because in Baghdad we had doctors, but of course it wasn't a really, you know, advanced.
If people were really sick, did they go abroad? Like
Yeah. And Palestine, they had the best doctor. They all came from Germany at that time. They had the best doctors.
Huh.
So they used to go. So people, you know, used to, I mean, nothing wrong with it. But any Jew who received a letter at that time, they used to go and take him to prison.
I heard a story that a number of three big sacks of mail from Palestine came, like in 1947, something like that, and the Iraqi government intercepted it and figured out who they were destined to go to.
That's right.
And then went around.
Yeah.
So you know that story.
Yeah, that's right. And this is how it was. So we had the ups and downs. All the time. So there was one woman who used to work in our school, just to give water, to look after the water, things like that, you know, like a maid.
Mm-hmm.
And they came to her and they said, "You have anyone in Palestine?" She said, "No."
Yeah.
"No, I have nobody." And then they said, "Remember?" She said, "No, I have nobody." And then they showed her a letter that came from her son. And they said, "What's this?" So she hugged him. And she said, "Oh, thank you, that he's alive." She was that sort of person, not very clever. She said, "Oh, thank you very much, he's alive."
Oh, no.
They can't do anything to her. They
laughed.
Yeah, they laughed. And yeah. So we heard lots of stories. I mean, we tried really to tear all the pictures that we took when we went to Palestine.
Yeah. When did you go to Palestine?
We went in 1943, and we were there in 1947. Just before the
yeah.
state of.
What was it like being in?
It was very nice, very, very nice. We had
did
lovely
you
time.
Stay for several months? Like a,
no, no, for holiday, summer holiday. 1 month, I think. In 43, we went maybe for 1 month. And 47, my mother had an operation. And she went with my brother. And then when she was all right, she had a big operation on her spine. And when she was all right, I went with my younger brother also to be with them.
I see.
Yeah. So when
now what is your family, your mother's family name?
Kazma.
Kazma.
Yes.
Okay, that's a name I never heard yet.
Yeah.
What do you know about the Kazma family? Do you know anything in particular?
Yeah, well, they are very close family.
Mm-hmm.
Now they are in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are in Israel. And
what was it like?
And yeah, my mother's family, she has also, I was talking about her nephews and they were in Israel,
right.
But she has cousins who are also big family,
right.
The Hillel family.
Oh, Hillel.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard of Shlomo Hillel.
Yeah.
He's her first cousin.
He's your mother's
first cousin.
Yeah.
Okay. And very, very close.
Yeah.
Very close.
Wow.
I mean, yesterday I phoned him to see what happens, you know, with all this, what's his reaction, what does he think about all the trouble now.
Right.
Yeah. So we are very close still
when
now.
When Shlomo Hillel came to Baghdad, did he stay with you?
Not at all. He didn't make himself known at all.
Right.
You no. Because, you know, anyone.
Name, an assumed name. And he probably didn't want
to. Armstrong.
Put you in a bad position.
We knew nothing about him when he came to Baghdad. No, and
when did you hear about what he had done?
Well, after he left.
Yeah.
After he left. But one day, while he was in Baghdad,
right.
There was someone who used to work in his father's office.
Mm-hmm.
When he was a
in
little
Baghdad.
Boy in Baghdad, before they left to Israel. He used to carry him on his shoulder, and you know, he was a little boy.
Right.
And one day, from far, he saw him. And then he lost him, you know, and he came to us and he said, you know, his name was Selim in Baghdad,
yeah.
In Baghdad,
uh-huh.
Not Shlomo. And he told my uncle, he said, I saw your cousin Selim. He said, keep quiet and shut your mouth. We don't want to hear his name at all, you know, because he was in Israel, you know, at that time we were terrified. We didn't want even to know if he was really there or not. And it was only after he left Baghdad that we heard he was there.
And another one saw him in Georgia, and he spoke to him.
Yes, I can't
another
remember.
One.
Yeah.
Another one recognized him. He was working in Georgia, you know.
Yeah.
And he stopped him and spoke to him, but he made himself as if he doesn't understand what.
Yeah.
He said, no, you are mistaken. It's not me. So, who was this that he stopped? Was another person? Stopped Shlomo. Oh, okay. Yeah, another person stopped Shlomo. I see. And recognized him. He said, Selim, he said, you must be mistaken. Right. So that's what amazes me. I mean, I read Shlomo Hillel's book.
And it's utterly amazing to me that he spent so much time in Baghdad after having left and gone to Israel and coming back, and with all the family connections within the Jewish community.
Yeah, he didn't.
How did nobody recognize
him? He didn't meet with us at all. No, I mean, they would have killed us.
Right.
Immediately, if
and
if I, for his sake also,
his
he's Israeli.
But it's amazing that more people didn't recognize him.
Yeah, and he had, you know, in Baghdad, I have it also. They call it Baghdad boil. It's
yes.
some
oh,
sort
tell
of.
Tell me about that. I've heard about that.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
It's
there.
Some sort. It becomes like a little boil,
oh.
Like a little spot, and then some, and
from
it doesn't
a fly.
Heal.
A fly.
From a fly,
oh,
it doesn't
okay.
heal afterwards, and it leaves a trace on the face.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have one too?
I have it here.
Ah,
it doesn't show.
And he had it.
Oh, you're lucky.
He had it in, you know, and he's, I don't know if you ever saw his picture or
I've
anything.
Seen his picture,
yeah, he doesn't, he has a British passport, but
right.
he doesn't look at all British.
Right.
He's dark, you know,
right.
very.
Right.
So they asked him, they say, you are Armstrong, but you are not.
Right.
How are you British? So immediately, you know, because all the British were in Bombay, in India.
Right.
He said, my father married an Indian woman.
Right. There's another interesting story from the book about how he was sitting, it was towards the very end, right before the operation was over, and he was sitting in a hotel lobby, and an Iraqi couple was sitting, he was sitting in a hotel where there were a lot of Europeans, and the Iraqi couple was sitting next to him, and they were saying to each other, assuming that he didn't hear, something like, do you see this, what do they call this thing?
Baghdad boy.
Right.
Echt.
We used the word in And they came up and asked him about it, and he made up some excuse.
Yeah, I don't know what he said. He was in Aleppo or something. Yeah, and he used to meet with Jewish head of community because he was negotiating the travel of the Iraqi Jews from
Shemtov.
Yeah, and they used to sit and talk and between them, and you know, we want to invite him to have in Baghdad, whoever comes from abroad, you know, samak. Mezguf, they call it. Mezguf, it's the whole fish, they make it on open fire.
Yeah.
And this is something very nice.
Mm-hmm.
So they started to explain to him. I mean, he must have eaten it hundreds of times. And he was interested to know what it is. And they said, next time we will do it for you.
Right.
So that
you
will. And he had to pretend all the time. And he understood everything
Maybe.
They spoke between them. And you know, it's very
really
difficult.
What did you feel or think when you heard that he was the one who had...
Yeah, well, of course, I mean...
proud that it was your cousin.
Yeah, it's, we knew he was in the government and all that. And then he went to... he left Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
When he left Iraq, just at the nick of time, things became very hot for him.
Right.
You know, like some people recognized him or something.
Right, he had to be.
And
right.
He went to Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And my brother was at the time in Iran.
Which brother?
David's father.
David's father, Salim.
Ah, okay.
And Shlomo was sitting in a restaurant. And my brother walked in.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw him. And Shlomo was terrified. He didn't want my brother to speak to him. Yeah, so immediately he wrote a note, and he called the waiter, and he said, go and give it to the gentleman who is sitting there. And he said, don't speak to me, and don't even, you know, recognize me. I'll get in touch with you. And he got in touch with him.
So that was about 1951 or something?
Yeah. No, 50, maybe 50.
50,
yeah, 50. So, I mean, things like that. He was very brave,
mm-hmm.
you know. He traveled under assumed name and all. I mean, he had the highest position.
Mm-hmm.
Speaker of the Knesset is only second to the president in Israel.
Right.
Yeah.
So
we are very close. I went to see him in the summer, you know, in Jerusalem.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I'm going to see him in 2 weeks. He's traveling now for the tournament. He'll be back on the
28th
or the 29th.
Who?
Going to see.
I'm going to go see him in Israel.
Ah, you're going to see him?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
When will you see him?
Well, he said he's going to travel. He's going to be traveling until the 28th or 29th of July.
Mm.
So I'll see him after that. I'll be in Israel until the middle of August.
Yeah. Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah.
You know, he lost his daughter a few months ago.
Yeah, what's that story? It was only a few months ago?
Yeah.
What happened?
She had 52, as I said.
Right.
My parents went back to Baghdad.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to have British nationality, because the rule in Baghdad, any girl marrying a foreigner, by that time my husband was like a foreigner, he had a British passport. Even if a Muslim girl, they had to take the nationality of the husband.
And did you relinquish your Iraqi?
Yes, because in Iraq you can't have two nationalities. So my father said, write a letter. Because the when we married in Paris, the Iraqi ambassador was a friend with, I don't know his name, I forgot. He came to our wedding.
Yeah.
So we couldn't hide things anymore. Right. He knew exactly I got married, and my husband had British passport and all. And he himself told me, he said, you know, what do you want with this Iraqi passport? You can't travel without a visa. You can't do anything. Go and take the British passport.
Wow.
And so my father said, then write a nice letter. Because at that time, anyone who didn't go back after 3 months, they lost their nationality. I told you, they allowed people to leave only for 3 months. Otherwise, they lose their nationality if they didn't go back. So I wrote a nice letter to say that I would have liked to keep the passport, but as your rule stands, I can't, and reluctantly, I have to take the British passport. I sent that letter. Then, in afterwards, in 1957, my father said, why don't you come to Baghdad to visit us? I didn't see them all this time.
Wow. Can I get that? When did Aileen get married? Did she get married after you?
Yes.
So did you come back for her wedding?
No.
No.
I couldn't. Who is he?
Ah.
So in 57, he said, why don't you come to visit us? My parents were there, my brothers were there. No, my sister got married in 1955. I couldn't. I had a British passport. They don't give visa to foreign Jews.
You want to put it? I started recording it again. Yeah.
They don't give visa to foreign Jews. I mean, they would not give a visa to a Jewish person.
So you couldn't go back?
I couldn't go back
right.
for my sister's wedding.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then my father said, would you come? I'll try for a visa.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, the Minister of Interior, like Home Office here, you know, they say, was a friend of my father. So he went to him and he said, listen, I'm getting on. I haven't seen my daughter for 5 years.
Yeah.
I'd like her to come and visit. And he said, and what's the problem? Why she's not coming? She said, because she has British passport and she can't, she wouldn't be able to get a visa. He said, but you know, we can't give visa to foreign Jews.
Yeah.
He said, just because she has a piece of paper, she became foreign. I'm here. My children are here.
Right.
And she became a foreigner just with this piece of paper.
Right.
Can you help me? I would like to see her. I'm getting on. He said, okay.
Okay. Your father knew the right people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, in Baghdad, it was like that. You know, we had good life. And he said, just now, I'm going to send a telegram to the Iraqi consulate in London. To grant her a visa, tell her to go to the Iraqi consulate. So my husband, I had to have a visa from my husband then. He was afraid in case I go there and they won't let me leave. So he went first to the foreign office.
What did he have to do? He wanted to make sure that you could get back in
yes.
to the UK.
Yeah, because we were under, you know, that we thought that anyone cannot get protection if he is in the country where he was born.
Right.
So my husband went to the foreign office and he said, this is the...
In Iraq?
Holy. No, here.
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 Oh, okay.
He said, this is the story. And my wife, born in Baghdad, she's going back to visit her family there. What is the... If they don't let her in, they said, We give her protection for 6 months.
So you could come back
in? Yeah. No, here I can come. I have British passport.
Right.
If the Iraqis will not let me leave,
yeah,
they will fight.
I see.
This
okay.
is what, yeah, they say.
So it was double protection. Your father had gone to the Interior Ministry.
No, that is for the visa.
I see. Okay.
My father went to the minister for the visa.
Right.
That they grant me a visa. But my husband said, what if you go and they will not let you leave because you were born there? So they said we give her protection for 6 months. Like if they will not allow me to leave, they will help me
right.
to leave.
Amazing.
If she stays after 6 months, we have no power. Finished.
So how long did you stay?
5 months. So I went here to the Iraqi consulate
mm-hmm.
and I said I want to go to Baghdad and I want a visa.
Yeah.
And they said okay. And they gave me a piece of paper to fill in everything, name, this, nationality, British, religion, Jewish.
Right.
They looked at me as if I came from the moon.
Right. Why would you want to
they
go
said,
back?
Jewish? No.
Oh.
They said, you know, we never give visa to Jews going to Arab to our country. I said, yes, I know. But I haven't come to ask you for a visa, I have come to collect my visa. Which is sent by the minister from Iraq.
Mm-hmm. And was it there waiting?
But I was shaking.
Right.
So he said, okay. 1 minute, please.
Uh-huh.
And he went in, and after long wait, he came back. He said, where is your passport? He stamped the visa. To go to Iraq, but he wrote on it by order of the Minister of Interior. It means they are not responsible for this visa.
I see.
Because they are not allowed to give a visa.
Right. So that's how things worked in Baghdad. There was
if you have
to a friend,
if either friend or bribery,
right.
I tell you, either friend or bribery.
Do you have to bribe? Did your family have to bribe
no.
all along?
No,
not
no.
at all. It was only your father had good connections.
Yes,
so he didn't
yes.
have to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With good connection. Unfortunately, after the revolution, this minister was hanged by the new regime.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What is his name?
Saeed Qazaz. We felt sorry because. 58, there was a revolution.
And so he was hung. He was hanged then.
They hanged all the people that belonged to the. Other government.
Do you remember him?
No, I never saw him. And I was here during the revolution. I wasn't in Baghdad. So, really, my husband was very nervous when I went to Baghdad. And I said, why? And all my friends were there, my parents were there.
What was it like going back? You hadn't been there in 10 years.
I tell you, I had fantastic time.
Yeah.
Parties,
right.
Every day, fantastic time.
Mm-hmm.
It was really beautiful. And here I was alone, no family. So
right.
to me, you know how much it meant going to see all my friends and all the family and having above all also a very easy life. I mean, here it wasn't easy life.
Right.
There, easy life, everything done for you. And
servants and maids.
Absolutely. And then, when the revolution came in 1958, mm-hmm. my husband said, you see why I was nervous? Because one is never secure
right.
being in an Arab country. So this could have happened last year also.
Right.
Really, it
you
could.
You were lucky that you got in 1957.
Yeah.
And
when there was the revolution
yes.
for 1 week, we were like mad. We didn't know whether the family was alive or not. There was no communication whatsoever with them. No communication. All we hear from the radio and killings and this and that. And for one whole week, you know, that week, at the time it felt like a year.
Right. And then it ended up.
And then they
right.
sent a telegram. When they were allowed to, we are all right. Yeah. I mean, my brother was in Stockholm, David's father,
yeah.
And I was here. And we were on the telephone all day. Did you hear anything? Not that if one of us would hear anything, it would not tell the other immediately,
right.
You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, we were all very, very nervous. But fortunately, everything was all right.
Mm-hmm. So, what do you feel about getting... Do you feel like you
want to
get your property back?
Well, we hope we can. My father's property, yes.
Has your brother had any success in terms of the restitution claim for your family?
No.
Nothing.
No. I don't... and I don't know with the situation now. I think that's the last thing on their minds.
Did he deal with his restitution issue well before the Iraq War in 2003? Or it just started, because I've read about it in the newspaper.
Yeah,
it's
no. Can, may we stop?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think he tried really in earnest for anything. I don't think we can get anything, not for the time being.
Right.
No. It's very, maybe like the Germans, it will take 50 years. Maybe our children.
Right.
Yeah.
What property are you most concerned about? Your house?
No, my father had a big building, very big building, with shops and a block of flats. Yeah.
You know what happened to that building?
No.
So it was flats and so it was commercial and residential.
Yes. Yeah.
In the heart of Baghdad.
In the heart of Baghdad. And, well, whether they give it, they don't give it, at least not now,
huh.
Not with all, I mean, today we heard they killed 50 people.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll have a cup of tea.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
great,
so
wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Doreen.